If it's Thursday, 6 p.m., that means it's time for Perspectives by John Pierce. And this evening's topic is old-time westerns on television. My guest is Dan Reddington, who is library director at the Mary Muser Memorial Library in Easton. You say you haven't heard of that library? Well, Dan, tell us a little bit about the library first.
Well, we're the small little hometown library at the corner of 18th and Northampton Streets in Wilsonboro. We service the entire Wilson Area School District, which includes Wilsonboro, Williams Township, West Easton, and Glendon. And if you happen to live outside of those areas, you're welcome to use Muser with your Access Pennsylvania privileges.
Very good. So Dan is the director of the library and has a strong interest in television westerns. Dan, does this come to you from your childhood that you became so interested in television westerns?
Actually, no. As a child, I was typical in my interest in superheroes and science fiction and all that kind of action stuff. But I, as a child, had one Western, which I loved, and I still do to this day, and that was Gunsmoke. Gunsmoke was a family tradition at our house. We all gathered around the TV set on Saturday nights to watch Gunsmoke, and I sort of felt like I was a friend to the residents of Dodge City on Gunsmoke.
That's great. And was that television in black and white?
Yes. Color television didn't come to our household until the late 60s. Gunsmoke did go to color, however, in 1966. It had been in black and white, though.
What were the total years of Gunsmoke?
Gunsmoke was on the air from 1955 through 1975. 20 years.
Wow, that's a long run. When did the golden age of TV westerns begin and end?
It began in September of 1955, and a lot of people say, oh, it began with Gunsmoke, of course. Well, it's one of those technicalities. Gunsmoke missed being the first program of the Golden Age by about 4 or 5 days. It was preceded by a program called The Life and Legend of Wyatt Earp.
Oh, yes.
Starring Hugh O'Brien.
Yes.
And that was television's first adult Western, which launched the Golden Age of prime time television westerns. Gunsmoke followed, premiering on September 10th, 1955.
And did Gunsmoke outlast Wyatt Earp as far as
years? By quite a bit. Wyatt Earp was with us for 6 years, which wasn't a bad run, of course. Wyatt Earp was on NBC. Gunsmoke was on CBS, by the way.
Huh. What about some of the earlier classic westerns, such as Hopalong Cassidy and the Lone Ranger? Those were two of my favorites on the small screen. You're talking here about 1949. We're going back in time.
Hopalong and the Lone Ranger are actually not in any way considered to be part of the golden age of television westerns. They, first of all, were aimed largely at children and in some cases did not air in prime time. A trivia question for you. Would you like to take a guess as to which was the first television series Western, Hopalong Cassidy or The Lone Ranger?
I would say The Lone Ranger.
And you are technically correct and not correct. Hopalong Cassidy was the first on the air, but his first programs were edited theatricals. Oh. The Lone Ranger was the first Western produced for the new medium. Both programs started in 1949.
Both in 1949. Well, here's a little story that I have from my past, and that is the beginning of The Lone Ranger. The Lone Ranger is on his horse, Silver. Silver gets up on his hind legs. The Lone Ranger pulls out a pistol and shoots it into the air and says, "Hi-o, Silver, away." And that's the beginning of every episode, right?
Yes.
So my brother and I enjoyed watching that, but our mother didn't want us to hear gunshots on television. So we would run up to when the program was starting, and we could see the Lone Ranger's face, and we knew that the gunshots were coming. We would run up to the TV set and turn the volume all the way down. No remote controls in those days. And then turn it back up when the shots were over. And then my mother didn't really know that we were watching this this dangerous TV show. When we say the golden age, we're talking about in terms of output from the television industry from 1955 to the early 60s?
Yes. The era is thought by most people to have ended the early 60s, say around 1963, because the number of programs on the schedule declined drastically at that point. If you look at the so-called golden age era, say 1958, for example, 12 of the top 25 programs on television were Westerns. 12 of the top 25, wow. And 7 of those were in the top 10.
Whoa.
And in 1959, okay. 20 hours a week of the primetime schedule was devoted to Westerns. So that was the golden age of Westerns. By 1963, that had dropped drastically. Many of the classics of the era had faded from the schedules. But, of course, Gunsmoke and Bonanza were still on the scene. And a newcomer, a 90-minute Western called The Virginian, landed on the scene in 1963.
Okay. Now, if folks wanted to see episodes from these Westerns today, is there a way to do that?
Oh, they're all of the classics. Most of them are available, quite seriously. If you don't mind the commercials, you can find a plethora of them in the afternoons. MeTV runs what they call Most Wanted Westerns from about 1 o'clock till 5 every afternoon. They include Gunsmoke, Bonanza, The Rifleman, Wagon Train. On another channel called H&I, which is Heroes and Icons, for years now they have run the same schedule every morning, which includes Maverick, Wanted Dead or Alive, Have Gun Will Travel. Let's see, the High Chaparral has joined that group, Cheyenne. High Chaparral is actually a new one to the group. It's only been on H&I for just 2 years. The others have all been running for years and years and years.
And all of these Westerns were shot in Hollywood, or did some of them get out for scenery purposes?
Some of them did occasionally leave the studio, and there was an interest in renting ranch space in the early days of TV Westerns, and they would just go out and shoot, and the location scenes would be recycled and used again. So if you had the hero riding up to the ranch, that would be reused again and again. And sometimes you'd get burnt by it because the actor would be wearing a different set of clothes in an episode, and then the recycled footage, he wasn't wearing those clothes. Huh. So the trick was to use similar clothes, basically the same clothes from episode to episode. So if you've ever wondered why the Cartwright family in Bonanza always seems to have the same clothes on every week, that's why.
Uh-huh. Well, these are some of the popular television series that folks might remember. Do you have some thoughts as to why Gunsmoke and Bonanza remained on the air for over a decade after the golden age of TV Westerns had ended?
Actually, I think there were a couple of reasons. One is luck. There's always a certain amount of luck in having a long-running television series. Second, time slot is a big factor. Nowadays, we bump programs up and down the schedule from one time slot to another. But Gunsmoke ran on Saturday nights for 12 solid years.
At what time?
And Saturday nights at 10 o'clock. Initially, for the first 6 years, it was a half-hour program. But the ratings were so good that CBS said, we got to get a little more out of this. And so after 6 years, they expanded the program to an hour and took the first 6 years of half-hour episodes and reran them on Tuesday nights under the title Marshall Dillon.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Then we have Bonanza, which became a solid stalwart resident of the television community on Sunday nights at 9 o'clock. most people don't remember, and I was surprised when I first found out, that Bonanza was not always on Sunday nights. It started out on Saturday nights. It was running against Jackie Gleason, and the ratings were not that good. But somebody at NBC said, we see a lot of potential in this program, and we also see the advantage of using the color scenery to sell color television sets. And RCA, which of course was the maker of the color television sets, was a parent partner with NBC. So they said, hey, let's make sure this Bonanza program stays on because of its beautiful color scenery. They moved Bonanza over to Sunday nights from Saturday, and it immediately took a tremendous jump in the ratings.
Wow. Yes, color TV was really the first network to go all color was NBC.
Yes, and NBC filmed Bonanza in color from day one. There are no black and white episodes of Bonanza. It was filmed in color from the very first episode.
Interesting. You speak with such fondness for Gunsmoke. Is there anything more you would like to tell us about the series, which held the record as the longest-running television series for decades? Longest running?
Yes, you know, 4 decades. It has since been surpassed by Law and Order and The Simpsons. And I won't talk about The Simpsons. I'm not too fond of them personally.
Okay.
But Gunsmoke, first of all, came from Hardy Stock. One of the reasons it was so successful was that it was already a radio program. It was on radio from 1951 to 1961. It had a staunch, devoted radio following. CBS Radio, by the way. And a man who you probably have heard of by the name of William Conrad played Marshall Dillon on the radio.
Ah.
Yes. It was thought that when the television series was proposed that they might consider William Conrad for the role, but in all honesty, it wasn't even truly considered. The radio cast were all given auditions, but it was sort of just a token thing. They really wanted to go with new people, and they did. Conrad himself was actually a little too heavy for the part of the program on television, to be honest.
Interesting. Yes. TV has to have the look.
Yes. So, now, you and I can get away with being on radio because, hey, nobody's going to see us, right?
Correct. And we can have great faces for radio, as we say around here, and nobody knows. My guest this evening on Perspectives is Dan Reddington, who is library director at the Mary Muser Memorial Library in Easton. Should I be saying Easton, Dan, or should I be saying Wilson?
It's in Wilsonboro, actually.
Wilsonboro.
Yes.
Oh, all right. It's so close to Easton. That's why I say that. We are ready to take a break right now. Stay with us, dear listeners. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY 88.1 offers many choices and real voices. Folk music, from folk classics to the Gaelic traditions of the British Isles, to bluegrass and old-time music of Appalachia, to the modern-day singer-songwriters telling the story of today's world. You'll find it all here on WDIY. Listen and enjoy the wide variety of folk music every weekday evening, 7 to 9 p.m., just after NPR News headlines, and Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. on 88.1 WDIY and streaming at WDIY.org.
Old-time Westerns on television is our topic this evening on Perspectives. I'm John Pierce. Our engineer this evening is Neil Heaver, operations director here at WDIY. Glad to have you with us. Dan is talking to us about many of the hit TV series, including Westerns. And at one point, Dan, you said that what was the number of Westerns out of 20 shows?
Of the top 25 shows, 12 of them were Westerns.
Yeah, amazing.
And the following year, 20 hours of the primetime schedule was devoted to Westerns. Imagine one genre controlling that much of the TV schedule. That has never occurred any time before or after in the history of the television medium.
Wow. And also, we're talking about three or four channels as a choice in folks' homes to watch television. We're not talking about 900 channels.
Like we have today, yes.
So, yeah. So let's go back and talk a little bit about Gunsmoke and Bonanza and why they're such wildly popular TV shows that they outlasted others after the Golden Age.
First of all, Gunsmoke and Bonanza are unique in that they have run on TV Land and on MeTV from the first day those channels went on the air. They've never been rested. The normal procedure with a classic rerun channel is that a program runs for a while, you give it a rest, so it gives the audience a chance to see something else, and then you may bring it back again in a few years. But Gunsmoke and Bonanza have remained on TV Land and MeTV since their first broadcast days.
And what were those roughly first broadcast days of the MeTV?
And MeTV came on the air in the early 90s, around 1990, 91. I can't give you an exact date on MeTV because it rolled out in different parts of the country at different times.
Early 90s.
Depending on cable carriage. As to Gunsmoke and Bonanza, they were unique in so many ways. First of all, if you look at some of the other Westerns of the era, it was usually a traveling cowboy or a marshal and his deputy. But Gunsmoke had a wonderful ensemble cast. You had Miss Kitty, the saloon keeper, Doc Adams. There was, of course, a deputy. Chester, Dennis Weaver, was the deputy for a few years. When he moved on to bigger things, Ken Curtis took the role of Festus. By the way, Burt Reynolds was on Gunsmoke for a few years as a regular character, the blacksmith Quint Asper. So that ensemble cast contributed to the success of Gunsmoke, not taking away anything from the charisma of James Arness as Matt Dillon. Bonanza had a different strength, and that was it was a family program. There were very few, if any, Westerns about whole families. Decades later, we would have Little House on the Prairie on the frontier, but that would be decades later. Bonanza had the Cartwright family, Little Joe and Adam, and of course, don't forget Hoss. He was sort of the soul of the family. Remember?
Big guy.
The big guy, yeah. Yes. He really was the warmth of the program. And I think that he was the linchpin to holding Bonanza together for its 14 years on the air. Sadly, when he died unexpectedly of a blood clot in 1973, Lorne Green, who, as you know, was the star of the program, said, we're finished. He says, we cannot do this show without Dan Blocker. And the network insisted, oh, we're going to. We're going to renew the program, and we're going to put it on in a new time. So you broke the viewing pattern by moving it to a different night and time. And, of course, you know what happened. The ratings plummeted. And then, of course, the program ended. The producers would rather have ended it immediately, but they were forced by the network to continue it for several more months without Dan Blocker, and it wasn't doable without him.
Interesting. Yeah, they needed Dan. Earlier you mentioned the hold that Warner Brothers Television, I don't think you actually mentioned that yet, but Warner Brothers Television held over the genre and the medium. What programs originated from the Warner stable?
Oh, quite a few. The most famous of them being a program starring James Garner. You may remember Maverick?
Yes.
And Maverick was a little off-center as a Western. It wasn't all drama, such as Gunsmoke or The Rifleman or Bonanza. There was a lot of tongue-in-cheek humor to Maverick. And that was one of the stalwarts of the Warner Brothers studio. Also, Clint Walker starred in Cheyenne. These programs sort of developed a unique following of their own. Warner Brothers was unique in another way. They had what was called the Warner Brothers Shared Western Universe. They didn't call it that at the time, but we have come to call it that looking back on the era. And that is that they took the stars of their programs and allowed them to visit other programs. So one of the Maverick brothers might turn up on Cheyenne, or Cheyenne might turn up on Maverick. However, when they did that one, they had to do it from a distance, and you saw only an outline of the man because Clint Walker was on strike the week they decided to film the episode where Cheyenne was visiting with the Maverick brothers. So they showed him riding off into the distance with Maverick trying to catch up with him.
So I didn't know that they would share talent between different shows.
But Warner Brothers owned all of the programs and had a very strict, tight hold on their programs. And also, there's a term which has come to negatively refer to the Warner Brothers Westerns, and that is the term the Warner Brothers walkouts. The Warner Brothers walkouts were the stars of Maverick and Cheyenne and Colt 45, another Warner Brothers Western. The actors of those three programs, which were all immensely popular, all walked out on their programs. They said, the working conditions are unsafe. We're asked to work too hard in too short of a time frame. And the studio would not allow them to make personal appearances in character unless they turned over 50% of any money they earned back to the studio. Can you imagine a star today turning over 50% of their income from personal appearances to the studio? That was the big issue right there. So Clint Walker walked out.
Wow.
And the stars of Maverick, James Garner, of course, was perpetually unhappy, and he was constantly letting them know. And yet years later, he came back and revived the character in the 80s in a show called Brett Maverick, which ran for one season.
Yeah. Speaking of personal appearances, back where I grew up, Evanston, Illinois, for the 4th of July, they always tried to bring in somebody who was a top name. And I remember when I was a boy that they brought in the cast of Wyatt Earp. And that was a big deal. Huge excitement.
It was.
Yeah, to be riding on floats and then winding up at Northwestern's Dyke Stadium for a presentation of some sort on the 4th of July. Yeah, fun stuff. Are you able to name one or two noteworthy or memorable Western episodes?
Two that stick out in my mind. One that has had such a memorable effect on me, having seen it as a teenager, is the episode of Gunsmoke called Snow Train, which aired in 1970. It was a two-parter. It involved virtually the entire cast of the show being stranded in a blizzard while on a train crossing between two mountains. And they actually went out and filmed this during a snowstorm. They took a real train. They knew it was going to be sitting there. They timed this, and they filmed under actual conditions. And they spent the kind of money that was often spent on some small-budget movies. In fact, in the 70s, in its final years on the air, Gunsmoke had such good ratings that it was not unheard of for some episodes to have the budget of a small movie in their production. Yeah. And I remember that episode particularly, Snow Train from 1970. You can catch it sometime on MeTV, or if you're inclined, the complete series of Gunsmoke is available on DVD, as is Bonanza now. If you're really into these programs, it's much more fun to enjoy them without commercials. And
oh, yes.
Yes. Gunsmoke and Bonanza are both available complete series sets, and they've actually come down in price from their initial releases. When they first come out, the prices are generally higher. They tend to come down over time. And the other show I'm going to say, I'm a little ashamed to say I've never seen it, but it's legendary, and I've just never been able to catch it at the right time. There was an episode of Bonanza called Hoss and the Leprechauns. It aired 10 days after the assassination of John F. Kennedy in 1963. It was a somewhat comical episode of Bonanza, and it aired at a time when the nation needed some humor. The title tells it all. Hoss is out hunting, and he rescues a little man who's dressed in green from a bear. And this is a little, little man. And it turns out the little man has a bag of gold. For real, a bag of gold. Hoss says he's seen a leprechaun. Nobody believes him. But legend says that when you take a leprechaun's gold, they'll come and steal it back. And guess what? The money that Hoss brought back disappears. And I'm not going to tell you any more about it. You have to look for it on DVD or watch for that episode of Bonanza on MeTV. But it's called Hoss and the Leprechauns.
Dan, in the few minutes we have left, do you have any books that you would like to recommend to our listeners?
Yes, definitely. One book in particular has fueled my passion for Westerns more than any other, and it's generally found only in college libraries. It's called Riding the Video Range, The Rise and Fall of the Television Western. It's written by Gary Yagi. The spelling is Y-O-G-G-Y, and it's published by McFarland Books, which is a publisher of reference books. Highly recommend that. There's coverage depth there that can be found in no other book. And they compare the programs to what was happening socially in society at the time, to give you the picture. The other programs, I must emphasize, Gunsmoke, an American Institution, 50 Years of Television's Best Western by Ben Costello. The Suzanne and Gabor Barabbas book on Gunsmoke. And also A Viewer's Guide to Bonanza. All three of these are worth your time. Especially, though, I want to emphasize the Yagi book on Riding the Video Range and the Gabor book, Gabor Barabbas, on Gunsmoke.
Dan Reddington, he obviously has a passion for these old-time TV Westerns, which were so popular at one time and now are on television with reruns. Dan, do you happen to remember an episode of Gunsmoke called Bohannon, which is 1972? It's about a faith healer.
Now that you bring it up, I know I've seen it.
Okay.
Yes, all definitely. Right.
That's the only one that I've seen. That's why I ask.
If anyone has any further questions that come to their mind, I'd like to invite them to feel free to email me at the library.
Okay.
It's muserlib@rcn.com, M-E-U-S-E-R-L-I-B @rcn.com. I'd be glad to try to answer your question or look up an answer for you if I can. And if you're interested in more information, let me know. I'm hoping to do a memories program at the library in the future. And if I have your name and number or a way to contact you, I can let you know when we do that memories program.
Thank you, Dan. This is Dan Reddington. I'm John Pierce, your host here on Perspectives. Thanks to Neil Heaver for being our engineer this evening. Time for us to go now. Until we meet again, remember to be gentle with your neighbor.